Hey, what's up? Good morning. Man, you guys are lively today. Me too. My name is Steve England, and I am on staff with New Life Christian Fellowship, and I've been sick since Monday evening. I was pretty much out for 2.5 full days, had about a half day, and then I was out for another day just because I was like, man, I can't even function right now. You know, there's that, I don't know what you call it, saying. I don't know if it's a saying or not, but that perspective of, oh, all guys turn into babies when they get sick. I pretty much champion that. So I just asked for your grace this morning. I can't see the end of the microphone, but I'm told that if I have to cough to cover it, so I don't like explode your eardrum. So I'm going to try and do that, but I appreciate your grace in that. I have my hot water with honey and lemon juice here if I need it. So if I need a break, please again, just appreciate your grace in that. How about I not put my hand in front of the mic when I'm talking? It's going to be a great morning. Can I just say that? So we're in the middle of this. We're about 3 weeks into a series called Teleos. And Teleos is the one of the words that we kind of use. It's the word that they describe is perfect or complete. Sometimes we think about it even in terms of fullness or maturity. And, you know, last week, Bruce gave an excellent teaching on giving and finances. One of the best that I've heard, and what most of you have said, probably one of the best you've heard. If you haven't heard it, I encourage you to check it out. And then Jim kind of kicked us off the week before that. Today we're going to be talking about worship. Sorry, did that work out? Okay, good. We're going to be talking about worship, and kind of what does that have to do with us being kind of perfect or complete or mature in our faith? And very interesting topic. I'm pretty excited about it. It might be a little bit different than you think, but that's fine. It'll be good. So let's just pray for a second here, because I need it, and then we'll continue to go on. So let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I praise you that you are good. I thank you for the cross. Thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. When I think of you and I think of your word and the richness of your mercy and your grace, I realize that compared to you, I have very little to offer. But you are good. Your word not only has the authority, but it has the ability to speak to our souls. And I pray that that would happen today. We love you, and we lift all this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's talk a little bit of history of worship. By the way, this morning, like I said, I was off a little bit this week. I pretty much prepared this whole thing Friday late afternoon and all day yesterday, which is not good if you know anything about preparing something like this. And then this morning, I felt like God was saying, Steve, I want you to take everything that you've prepared and completely invert it. So we're going backwards from what I initially planned. So your program, we're going to go this way, okay? Or this way, then this way. I don't even know how it looks. But so that's what we're doing. But thinking about a little bit of history with worship, you think about Old Testament. Some of the most common things that we see with worship there are sacrifices and offerings, you know, and there were so many different types, so many different reasons that people would offer up these sacrifices or offerings, different occasions. Sometimes it was a daily thing in the temple, it was like a weekly thing, big holiday. I mean, it was like, there was a lot of these going on. When you read through the Old Testament, you can kind of see all throughout it, you know, this stuff happening, and that it was a form of worship back then. Prayer and psalms, this is something that isn't like as like we don't read as much about this as we do some of these other like sacrifices and offerings and stuff like that. But this was considered like when we pray, we are worshiping God. When we, you know, write out these psalms or when we sing these psalms, because that's what they are, psalms or hymns. When we do that, we are worshiping God. Giving donations, even in the Old Testament, was considered a form of worship. It was a way that people would honor God by giving him a portion of whatever they had coming in, whether it was like livestock or whether it was grain, you know, kind of their first fruits. It was considered a form of worship. And so, you know, that's what Bruce pretty much talked about last week. The word worship, you know, that we use when we read the word worship in the, you know, in the Old Testament, it's translated from the Hebrew word, which means, or Hebrew phrasing of to bow down or to go prostrate. Prostrate? I think that's the right way to say that. And you guys know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just like, I'm going to give you a little visual here. It's not just like the, you know, we kind of get down and we go like this. I mean, it was like you're getting down and you're flat on your face before God. And this is really comfortable for me right now. But that wouldn't be much to experience this morning, would it? So, but that's kind of the idea. Like, that's what worship meant so much. Like, that was sometimes the first thing that people would think of was to just be laid out before God and just saying, you are better than me, you are mightier, you are greater than I am. And I just physically, I want to represent that. And so they kind of lay themselves out. Well, when Jesus came on the scene, the idea of worship changed things a little bit, for those at least that who would consider themselves Christians. There wasn't a need for sacrifices. It wasn't like we had to believe in Christ and his life, death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. We didn't have to believe that and make these other sacrifices on the side. He was the sacrifice. He's considered the Lamb of God. And so it changed things a little bit. And I constantly go back to Romans 12. It is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. You probably, if you go back and listen to any teaching I've done, it might be in there. But in Romans 12, 1, Paul talks about it. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Paul says that in view of God's mercy, we should be able to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And people knew, like, the idea of a sacrifice, like it was, you know, kind of giving something as a way of honoring God. And to be able to do that with our bodies as we live our lives, that's what Paul was kind of saying, and that is our true and proper worship. So when we think about it like that, worship, it's different. You know, it's not just like a kind of a ritualistic sort of thing that we do, you know, at a certain time on a certain day. But it is everywhere that we go, everything that we do, we are worshiping God. And this kind of reminds me of a passage that in 1 Timothy 2, it's in your program. And I want to read this. And then I want to explain to it, That's what I'm going to do. No, I want to explain a little bit because I think it's really easy to read this and be like, what? Like, what is this saying? Like, generalizing all that junk. So let's kind of read it and then we'll go on from there. This is 1 Timothy 2, chapters 1 through 10. It says, "I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved, and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at a proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles." I really like this first part here because Paul is just going in, like, he's just laying it out, like, this is what we should be doing. You know, this is how we should pray, that we should constantly be reminding ourselves of who Christ Jesus is and that he wants to save, like his desire is that we would all get to know him. And in verse 8, therefore, so in light of all that, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. I also want the women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. You know, when I read, there's a couple of things that stick out to me, and I want to point them out. One is that Paul is writing to Timothy, a very specific person who is surrounded by a very specific culture. And so he is addressing things that need to be addressed to that culture. So we have to remember that there is some context here. We also have to remember that our culture, even though it is very different from that culture then, is not 100% different than it was then. I also think that Paul is not saying that every dude comes, when he comes to pray, like he's just angry, and he's just kind of standing there, and like he's just like frustrated and blah, you know, crotchety. Like that's not what, he's not saying that, and he's not saying that all women everywhere are overly concerned about the way that they look. It's important for us to remember these sorts of things. I think what Paul is getting at is he is getting at a deeper heart issue, that there is something that needs to be stirring on the inside that affects what happens on the outside. And so when we read Scripture, we have to kind of continue to think about this, even in the sense of being a living sacrifice. That is a perspective that happens, has to start on the inside, and then it translates to the outside. So I have a little visual that I'd like to use, another one, and I need everybody to stand up. If you could stand up, I would appreciate it. We're going to play a little game. It's called Steven Says. and you might have seen, like, there's like this picture on Facebook kind of floating around. It looks something like some of the moves you might see here today. If you're able to make these moves, go for it. If you're not, it's totally fine. We won't judge. And it's going to be like a Steven Says do this, Steven Says do this, not like a, I'm not going to give a name for it. So, okay, Steven Says do this. Ooh, look at you guys even doing like the, you know, here. That's good. It really wouldn't have mattered if you did. I didn't even think about that, so that's fine. Okay, Steven says do this. Steven says do this. Steven says do this. Steven says do this. Do this. You guys are great. Okay, now. No. Okay. There are no losers today, but a lot of you guys. You folks. All right, so let's just hang here for a second. I'm sorry. I'm apologizing right now. We're going to hang here for just a moment. Everybody look around. I'm serious. Like, look around to the folks around you. Look towards the back. If you're in the back, you got it great because you can see everybody. Everybody's doing it. Or, you know, almost everybody. I can't see everybody. But think about this posture right here. When we read about this, I know you're uncomfortable. It's okay. Just hang with me. When we think about this posture, where is it that we see this the most? Usually it's like in the movies when there's some sort of like bank robbery. Or I didn't even think that was going to be that funny. That's awesome. Or when, you know, it's like we're in, you can put your hands down. I totally got you. Well, Stephen didn't say. So now you can have a seat, legit. Okay, thank you. But when we think about this posture, I don't know if I get a pit stain. When we think about this posture, I shouldn't be concerned about the exterior. I should be more concerned about the interior. Okay, when we think about this posture, this has a posture of somebody giving themselves over to somebody who has more power than they do, who has more authority. Maybe they've even been caught in the act. But in a sense of like, you are greater than I am. It's a posture of surrender. And so I say that because I think that it almost combines these last two things that we were reading about here in 1 Timothy in the sense of, I don't know how many times I've been in the midst of like a worship music set. I say worship music set because we made a really good point that worship isn't just the music. Like, worship is the way that we live our lives. But we're in the midst of a worship music set, and I feel like, oh, I'd really like to, like, raise my hand right now, you know, because I feel like I want to honor God in that way, but nobody else is doing it. I'm going to look like a doofus. You may or may not have felt that way before. But there is a sense of not, like, when you're here, there's not much else that we can do. There's not a sense of, like, I can argue with what's going on right now because I realize that I am not as great as God or as whoever I'm surrendering over to. I'm not in a position to fret so much. At this point, all I can think of is I am giving myself over. And for sometimes it translates for us like, what is it that God desires for me? Do I need to be concerned about what the folks around me think? Do I need to be concerned about how somebody next to me, am I going to smack them in the face? Or are they going to get mad at me? Or are they going to be like, oh, he's worshiping God, it's cool. You know, which I think I've done that before, so, you know, it happens. But I think it comes, and what I'm not saying is that at the end of this service when we sing some more songs, I'm going to be looking around and be like, all right, y'all, you better step up. It's not going to be like that. But what I am saying is that how is it that our worship on the inside translates to what's on the outside? I think that that's a lot of what Paul's getting at. You know, it's interesting, though, when you think about this, that Paul's saying this, because Jesus, even at one point, he busted up on the Pharisees because they would pray out into these streets and they'd have these big, like, tassels and robes and they'd pray like this. And it was like a big show. And Jesus was like, don't be like that. You know, they will get their just reward. You know, they want attention. They want to be noticed in the squares. They will get what they deserve. And they would get that. And that was about the extent of it. There's the sense of, it translating to the outside. Jesus, Pharisees. He was saying that there's more of a heart issue that needs to be there. Their hearts weren't in the right place. So he said, you know, go in your room and pray. Why don't you go do that instead? And so when Paul talks about this, he's saying that, you know, don't be so angry, guys. He's like, just don't be concerned about, like, You're angry. Don't be concerned about what people think about the way that you look at this time. Worship freely. Let that kind of come to the outside. And so, yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit. The passage that we're really going to focus on today is in Ephesians chapter 1. It's in your program. It's up here. I want to say that I was sick. I had a major brain fart when I was submitting, you know, the things to go into the bulletin, and I wasn't able to get the whole verse in there, the whole passage. So, but the rest of it's up here. I think you have verses 1-10, something like that. The rest will be up here on the screen. A little fact about this passage is that when it was originally written in Greek, it was one ginormous sentence, and usually, if that was the case, it was because it was kind of important. They wanted it all to kind of be together. So let's read this. This is Ephesians 1, 3-14. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You know, it's hard to know where to begin with a passage like this, because it is full. It's full. It's got so much in there. You know, when I was kind of reading through this and thinking about what I would say today, you know, I got to the point where I, you know, we kind of sang about this before, but I was just in awe. Like, I was like, man, I don't even know. Like, this is awesome. Like, I read it over and over and over again. And so I would encourage you, maybe not right now, but later, read it over and over and over again. Just sit there and, like, let it soak in. One way that people look at this passage is they kind of consider it as our Christian heritage, meaning that it helps us to see where, like, why we are where we are as Christians, and even kind of what Christ's work is in our lives right now, and then what things might look like in the future. It's kind of good to look at this in three parts. And the first part is really, it's verses 3-6. And in these four verses, there's so much to unpack. It explains kind of who we are, how we got here, and what it means to be in this loving relationship with God. That it's not just a matter of like, oh, he loves us, he cares about us, but that he has like brought us into his family, which is like a big deal. Like he has adopted us, he has chose us, he has chosen us. And all of this comes down to the fact that because of all of this, we can be giving praise to God. Like we can be so thankful for what he is doing. I like how Paul, he helps us to see that we are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing that there is in Christ. We think about that, every spiritual blessing. You know, sometimes when we take a snapshot of our lives, physically, we might look around and be like, oh, you know, even though like we're probably more blessed than we realize, we probably think like, oh man, things have been really hard lately. Like this is tough. I don't feel as blessed as maybe like I should feel as I'm blessed. Being able to understand what these spiritual blessings that we have, what it means to have an adoption into the family of God, like that is such a big deal for us. And it's something that each of us, on an individual basis, we have to at times wrestle with, but, you know, really just kind of come to grips and seek an understanding that God loves each of us so much. He is crazy nuts about us that he has made, like, this ultimate sacrifice so that we can be connected to him for eternity. It's a bigger deal than just, like, I had a rough week. You know, rough weeks are legit rough weeks, and God, the cool thing is that God wants to work through those things that we might have in a rough week, but he's also like, there's something so much bigger that I have in store for you. And we need to be able to kind of walk through this and seek him in the things that we do. And so, you know, as Paul is talking here about praising God and looking deeper into that, and it's good to ask, like, what is it specifically that he's praising God for? And that comes through in verses 4-6. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. It's such an awesome thing. So switch up to part two. This is verses 7 through kind of the middle of 13. I'm going to read this, and you can read it with me. In him, not physically, but, you know, kind of read along. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, also having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. See, the first part, it really talks about God's love for us and kind of his grace, his mercy, his deep passion for us, and that he's crazy about us. This second part, it kind of goes in what I already said, which is Christ's work, like, and kind of how Christ fits into that equation of God's love for us. Because of the grace that we talked about in the first part, you know, God's love for us, his wanting to be connected with us, doing whatever it takes on his part, we can have forgiveness for our sins because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And I like this because he says, through the knowledge of this, we can understand the mystery of God's will, which is what is here in verse 10. It says, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, but we did a series on the Lord's Prayer last semester. And the first few verses of it are, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's what God desires. He desires that just as his love and mercy is just in his spirit are like filling the heavenly realms. That is his desire here, that we would have such a sense of his spirit welling up inside of us that things would be here as they are there, that we would be just as connected here as, you know, on the other side of eternity. He desires this deeply rooted connection with him. So as God's people, we have a part in helping to see this come through. We're here at verse 11. And all of this, kind of moving to verse 12, is in order that we would be praising God because of his glory. There is this sense that everything that God has done means that his greatness, because of his greatness, we can praise him. We can give him glory. And then kind of the last part, he talks about how we're marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And I like the way that he refers to it as a deposit. He refers to it as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. He's saying that, like, I can't go into, like, everything about the Holy Spirit right now, honestly, because there's so much to, I'm already, you know, on time here. So, but thinking about one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that it is kind of like a way of God identifying himself with us. It's like him inside of us, which is like a pretty awesome and a wild thing to try and consider. But it is a way of him saying, okay, I'm identifying with you. You are my sons. You are my daughters. I love you. I care for you. And like he gives us the Holy Spirit as a way of purposing that. And so, you know, there's so much here in this big passage, and I kind of really just scratched the surface of it. But the gist of what Paul is getting at is that there is so much that we can praise God for. That we can, if we can walk in light of his love, of his mercy, of his grace, of what the cross is, then worship translates into something more than just singing songs on a Sunday, but it translates in something in the way that we live our lives, like, because we see his work in us, we see what he wants to do in other people's lives, and we just kind of grab hold of that and run with it. And so when we think about being a living sacrifice, and walking in that, and that our lives are can have the possibility of abounding in worship, I think that it can change our perspective of everything. I think that one of the marks of, we're talking about teleos, we're talking about perfect in the current state that we're in, being at a full measure. When we think about this sort of thing, one of the, I think the marks of somebody who is either seeking to or even, let me back up a little bit. One of the marks of somebody who is seeking to grow and trying to grow in their Christian faith, I think, is that we understand that worship is about the way that we live our lives. It's about the things that we do. That's really everything that I'm trying to get at today, congestion and all. So as we consider about this passage, if we need to say, well, what does it mean to be thankful and everything, to be praising God like all the time? I'm not even quite sure where to start. Let's start at the cross and then go from there. I think that's a good place to start, and I think that's what Paul's talking about. Just in the way that we live our lives is the in the realities of God's love for us. Let's pray, and then we'll move on to something else. I thank you that your word is good and that you love us and care for us. I thank you that we can be we can be thankful, God, so much just for who you are, Lord. What you've done just makes is a reflection of who you are. And so we are thankful, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We're thankful for the grace, love, and mercy that you have given us. I pray that your word would speak to us, God, and well up in our hearts. And God, that you would minister to us as we need it. In your name we pray. Amen.